this with your help. And so, Lord, I pray you would bless my feet of clay. Help me as I struggle through these things, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a handout sheet. A couple of thoughts I put on there you might want to use later on in the week. Well, we started this year by talking about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. We talked about the Ark of the Bulrushes and how Moses, and we asked the question, what did he see? So we're taking these, what we would say, major characters in the Old Testament, and we're asking questions. With Joseph's life, and you'll see on your sheet, this is part three of Who Do You Trust? But when I put that on there, it was, autocorrect said it shouldn't be who, it would be whom. So changed it. So mine still says, who do you trust? Because I don't care what autocorrect says. So who do you trust? Whom do you trust? And Joseph, it's really interesting when you read his story. Just a short review is that, he was the ultimate person that actually had his brother sell him. Now, if you've grown up with siblings, you've often thought many times that you might want to sell your brother or sister. They did. Actually, they went one step further, and they wanted to kill him, but it was oldest brother Reuben that interceded and said, we can't kill him. And they said, and then Reuben, I don't know what he was doing, but he wasn't there. But Judah says, hey, we can sell him. So it reminds me of the little boy. And so I'm not real good with jokes, and I don't plan jokes, but I thought about this the other day. It is cute. Little boy, he had a dog, and he wanted to sell him, and he put his little sign up, and he said he had his dog for sale. He wanted $20,000 for his dog. The guy come by and he says, boy, don't you think that's a little steep? Well, he goes, hey, that's what I want. I like him, but I want to sell him. So the next day the guy comes by and sign was down. He said, hey, did you sell him? Yeah, you got $20,000. Well, I traded for two $10,000 cats. So, hey. See, look at that. You thought it was going to bomb, right? Now you're sitting there and going, hey, man, I'll tell you what. New respect for the preacher today. Look at that. He can't actually tell a joke. So anyways, they sold him. Sold him with the intent that, and really, it was to shorten his life. Because they figured if he was sold, he would be sold as a slave. He would be taken down to Egypt. He would be put under hard labor. Hard labor, as much as archaeologists go down and they research into Egypt and all these huge projects, it was a lot of labor and a lot of death surrounded that hard, hard labor. And they really figured that they did not want to see Joseph again, and that they figured that this would be the best way to shorten his life, and they did not actually commit the murder. So Joseph finds himself sold as a slave. First of all, in a caravan where someone owned him, sold as a slave in Potiphar's house. And each and every instance along the way, you find that bits of his character is being revealed all the time. A bit of character that's revealed about Joseph in the very beginning that a lot of people miss is his respect for authority. His father was his authority in his life. His father obviously gave him, Joseph respected his authority enough that when his father sent him out to bring a report back from his brothers, he was not afraid to bring an evil report. Other people said he was a tattletale. I choose to believe he respected his father's authority and that he would not cave to his brother's demands for mediocrity. You can, however you want to read in the Bible and see that, I see the theme through Joseph's life that his respect for authority was demonstrated in Potiphar's house, where Potiphar literally placed everything in under his authority, and he didn't abuse it, because if he would have abused it, he would have had the affair with Potiphar's wife, and he didn't. And he stood firm even as we read our passage today where she falsely accused him and he finds himself in jail. So that's my short review. So we come back now to Joseph's circumstance, because throughout all of these two prior messages, I listed them as circumstances. And it would be circumstance number one, circumstance number two. On my sheet, on your sheet, so you don't confuse you, I just put number one, but under mine, on number one, it says circumstance number one, Joseph finds himself in prison. So I listed it on yours on number one as Joseph finds himself falsely imprisoned. That's where it is. He's falsely imprisoned. Without proper investigation, Potiphar ordered him to prison. But even there, Joseph was blessed by the Lord and given a position of responsibility. First of all, folks, in my thinking, that's just unheard of. You know, when you go to prison, everybody that is in prison is all obviously falsely accused, right? They don't deserve to be there. Okay? All you got to do is ask them. And I'm, what's up? So, now, the fact, and here's the bullet on, or the little check mark on yours, the fact that Joseph was not executed. Now, I found this very interesting. I'm in a process of discovery of the Word of God as I study it, too. I wish I could say that I knew it all and I just got up, wouldn't have to study and just start and put together an outline. But this point is very interesting. I'm going to read it from your sheet so you have it too. The fact that Joseph was not executed may indicate that Potiphar did not entirely believe his wife. You say, well, now, Pastor, you know, I think you're adding to the Word of God there. I don't think I am, and I'll tell you why. Because if he would have believed, he would have been killed. And the fact that Potiphar did not have him killed, and I'll read it here, indicate that Potiphar did not entirely believe his wife. Boy, that's terrible. I bet you Valentine's Day was rough at his house. Right? I bet you his wedding anniversary wasn't all that great either. Now watch this, okay? He couldn't help knowing her true character. And so what we're looking at, okay, first of all, I realize this is maybe a little bit of a sidetrack, and my notes sometimes aren't as detailed because I think about this stuff and I want to introduce it to you, is that we have a tendency to read the Bible and think, okay, my wife, my relationship with my wife is predicated on we got married in 1975 and living in a culture of America, okay? Potiphar is not in a culture of America. Potiphar is a culture of ancient Egypt. Okay? Potiphar is not just a regular person. He's a very important person. He commands hundreds of soldiers. And so he would probably be what you and I would call a person of great authority. So let's think about 2024, people of great authority in our world, their marriage relationships are completely different than regular people, blue-collar people like you and me, right? Well, yeah. Do you not think it's sad that many of our top leaders around the world do not enjoy a close relationship with their spouse that we do? Let that sink in for a minute. Well, yeah. Is there opportunities for infidelity within high-ranking people that are not accountable with all their hours? Come on now. Amen. See, I'm laying this out for you. You know why? Because I think that Potiphar knew the character of his wife. And I believe that. You ask Karen. Is she here? I think she went to junior church. I have my wife in junior church. She's just learning. No, she's. You talk to her. There's not many, many minutes of the day that we are not accountable to each other for our time. I can barely see back here because of these lights, but he worked up at the big house. I think he was in there and they finally served a sentence and they just said he worked there, okay? But he worked at the big house. That's what they call it, right? The big house? I know other people. There was a day when I was thinking about I went to different people, talked to them that worked there, and said, you know, I was going to put an application in, work at the big house. I tried to get in the other way, but I couldn't get arrested. So, you know, I thought maybe I'd be getting employed there. Okay. The prison system today, in all that of all the nastiness that's there, would not compare to the prison system in Egypt. Most people didn't survive prison. I know there's a lot of goes on in prison and a lot of infidelity and immorality and a lot of death happens there. But if you were in prison, so here's Joseph. Where did Joseph start off? Father's favorite. Coat of many colors. Respects his father's authority. He goes out to get his brothers. His brothers hate him. He has these dreams. His brothers hate him even more. He comes up on them. Here comes this dreamer. Let's see if we can't wreck his life. And they do the very best they can to do that. And so, but God blesses him. He's in Potiphar's house, still missing his family. Not in a place where he really wants to be, but God is still blessing him. And now he finds himself in prison. So circumstance number two. Joseph chooses to live above the circumstances. Let me put it this way. Joseph trusted God despite the way things seemed to be working out. Joseph was living above his circumstances. Now you might say, Pastor, why do you preach this stuff? Because, you know, I'm trying to develop being a storyteller, right? You know, I tell you the story and you read through it and you say, how in the world can this guy waste 35 minutes on my time for something that we can read in 7? Well, because if I didn't believe that there's something in here for us to greatly encourage my walk with God, my understanding of God, my living for God, then I just tell a story and we go home. Because there are churches that just tell stories and they go home. So we look at Joseph's life now. Now this is the part I think that really invades our life, okay? Joseph chooses to live above the circumstances. That's easy for me to say and read that and say, oh, well, look at Joseph. He just lived above those circumstances. Oh, he's just a wonderful guy. Listen, folks, he's in prison. If you read, I think it's Psalm 107. Let me look at my notes here. No, Psalm 105. Write it down. Go look at it. We're not going to read it. Verses 17 through 19. It will reference Joseph being placed in chains again. Okay. That means he was in prison. He didn't go to another house. He stayed in the prison. Now, the guard, I can imagine Potiphar taking him there and whispering, hey, this is really a good guy, but I hate my wife, and I just want, you know, I want things to be civil at home. No, he didn't. He threw him in jail. He didn't kill him because he didn't really necessarily believe his wife's whole story, but he had to follow through with it. He did not kill him. He finds himself in jail, and guess what? He chooses to live above the circumstances. Well, what does that mean? Well, when we choose to live above the circumstances, we believe God. Now, I know that's kind of like a little antidote, and you say, well, what does it mean to choose, I believe God? Well, I believe that God knows who I am. I believe that God knows my breaking point. I believe that God, this is a perfect illustration of Romans 8:28. Do you know what Romans 8:28 says? Let's say it together. For all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. That's a perfect illustration. Old Testament illustration of believing that all things work together for good. Now, we don't believe that. You say, really? Oh, yeah. Over and over and over. You know what I mean? I meet people that are under the circumstances all the time. Well, you don't understand. Well, I went down today and my car didn't start. Okay, yeah. I got my tractor out the other day. Isn't it wonderful springtime? We had that wonderful week in March. It was 70 degrees. My grandson came to the house. Let's get the lawn furniture out. Spring is here! We were standing at the graveside, at Ken's graveside, and the sleet was blowing over my shoulder. I went to get my tractor out, and I'm thinking, man, something wrong. It won't move. Yeah, the front tire's flat. Ooh. Right? Hit the key. Battery dead. See, you know what happens? Do you know what? That is just enough for an entitled person to walk around and complain all the time. Come on now, amen? How do I know? Listen to this. Now, here's the thing. I want to be very careful. I'm treading on thin ice here. I understand this, okay? Do you know how you know if you're living above the circumstances or below the circumstances? Do you know how you know that? I do. How much we complain. What happens when we complain? What happens when we complain? We don't trust God with the situation. I remember I met some really interesting people in my life. There was a lady, she was called Aunt Dot. She lived at the Sylvan Ridge personal care home. Older couple in the ministry up at Bakerburg said, "I heard you like to go to nursing homes." Well, I would rather visit there than stay there, but yes, I don't mind going to a nursing home. And so I'm just preparing myself so I know what it's like when I get there. You know, when they put the thing around your leg, and I already decided what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit at the door when you come in and go. I'm just going to stick my tongue out. Everybody comes in. Yep, my wife will come in and say, "Dave, quit doing that." And I said, "Look, I've prepared my whole life for this. Let me do it." You know, maybe get an old engineer hat or something. Just go, make face to people. So anyways, no, what was I saying? Okay, Aunt Dot. Aunt Dot, she was close to 100 years old. We would go down and sit by her bed. And you know what? I heard a lady, I never heard her complain a thing in my life. She couldn't walk anymore. People had to assist her for everything in her life. And she would say, and you know what she said all the time? "But that's okay. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it." Wow. For some people, if one thing goes wrong in the morning, watch this. "I'll tell you what, my whole day just shot." Okay. You know what you're saying there then when you complain? I am not willing to trust God. Is God not sovereign? Come on now, amen. Is God not sovereign? In Joseph's life, let's look what the Word of God says. I think this is so powerful. If we look at, boy, I hope I got it right there. Yeah, verse 21. Going out on a limb here. Okay, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Was it Joseph's personality that gave him favor in the sight of the guy that kept the prison? Yes or no? No. It was God. I remember, you know, I had the opportunity to go in for a colonoscopy. I think everybody have once or twice a month you ought to have one of them, you know. So, actually, we've got people leaving to get in line to go get one. And so, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I do not shine. Yeah. "Shine, Jesus, shine." You know, so I get up in the morning and I sing that. If my wife was in here, I'm very quiet in the morning. I love to ease into my mornings very quietly, okay? Last Sunday morning, you would have seen me at my best. I don't come walking through the door, he is risen, he is risen indeed. I walked in the morning think, wow, this is crazy. So anyways, I'm going in there. And I want the first appointment for a colonoscopy. Okay, so I'm there, and I walk in the door, and I see the lady behind the desk, and I don't know who she was, but she just looked like me. 6 o'clock in the morning, didn't want to see anybody. And so I'm thinking to myself, this ain't going to go well. Not that I'm going to get irate or say anything. So anyways, you know, you get all this stuff in the mail and you answer all these questions 15 times to 15 different people because 14 of them don't talk to each other. Right? So I'm standing there and she starts asking me these questions. And so it was funny because, you know, she's not even cracking a smile. I'm standing there and I didn't want to be a jokester or anything, but they told you to dress casual. So then she says, she asked some questions, and then she starts asking, she goes, did you ever answer these questions? I said, well, I don't know. What are they? She goes, do you have any piercings? Well, no. If you have piercings, I'm not here preaching against piercings. But she says, so, and then she starts going over the list, so I just pull my shirt up right there because I was dressed comfortable. And she said, Mr. Dessler, you made my day. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I know half of you are going to withdraw your membership and go somewhere else, but that's okay. God gave me favor in the sight of that woman. And hopefully, I could have sat there and said, I tell you what, how do I have to answer all these questions? Right? Come on now. Don't we complain? Don't we complain? See? Joseph trusted God. He lived it. He lived above the circumstances. God was working behind the scenes for Joseph. Under the circumstances, he should have been upset. This is on your paper. But he was not under the circumstances. He was above them and saw God's hand in them. And you know, now, I know what we do. We're going to take this and we're going to go somewhere else with this. And then you know what we want to do? We want to know what God's doing all the time. And you know what? I'm here to say that's dangerous territory. You know what God says to me? He just wants to take me by the hand. And he wants to walk me through this life. And just trust him. You know what? We want to trust God with stuff that we like. We want to trust God when there's no pain. It's easy to trust God then. Come on now, amen? Yeah. Well, what about when things are tough? What about when your plate is that full and you think one more thing is going to break it, break the plate, and guess what? It happens and you don't lose your mind. You know why? Because God always knows. But it's like this. Am I willing to trust? That's what it comes down to. It's easy to trust God when things are going well. It's hard to trust God when the circumstances. Now, where is Joseph? Joseph's in prison. I would say this. I think that that's probably a pretty hard place to not complain and to trust God. But Joseph lived above the circumstances. Number three, the third circumstance would be this. Joseph looks for opportunities to honor God. Now, that's not on your sheet. Your sheet, it says this. Joseph's attitude was noticed by the keeper of the prison, and it resulted in a position of trust and authority. Now, the keeper of the prison, if we understand from the other writings in the scriptures, especially the book of Philippians, where the earthquake took place and all the cells were broke open, we learn something about a keeper of a prison, that if a prisoner escaped, they didn't send the posse out, they killed the keeper of the prison. It's a pretty good motivation. Oh, you want this job? Yeah. Anybody gets away? Yeah, you're dead. Well, you don't want me to find them? No, we'll find them, but you're dead. Because the keeper of the prison comes in, according to Acts chapter 16, and he's ready to take his own life. And Paul says, hey, we're all here. Don't kill yourself. The keeper of the prison saw something in Joseph. And what did he see in Joseph? He saw that Joseph understood authority, respected authority. It started with his dad. It was displayed in Potiphar's house. And now it's being displayed in here, okay? It was even enough not to need any oversight, according to the scriptures. Put everything in his hands. So now what happens, okay? Consider his living conditions. He didn't get the best bunk. He still was in prison. He ate the food. Now, instead of this, it was still prison. Not only did he have to live among the conditions, he had to deal with all the other prisoners. Hey, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I know what they were doing. They were all singing Kumbaya. Right? Every day they woke up in the prison and the keeper of the prison heard, Jesus loves me, this I know. And Joseph was leading Bible study, right? No, he was carrying out the responsibilities that would be in the prison. So now circumstance number four. And this is where we get to the message. See, all this is introduction. You say, I can't believe you do that to me. No, we're almost done because I'm trying to break this up. Because I think I've given you enough application that we can actually stop right here. But I want to get to number four. Circumstance number four is, and if you want to write it down, because I have on yours, Joseph meets the king's cupbearer and the king's baker. And the circumstance in his life is the right place at the right time. That's where Joseph is. He's at the right place at the right time. Why? Because there's a bigger story being told here. Now, do I believe that there's a bigger story being told with my life right now than what I perceive? Now you say, really? See, because our names aren't in the Bible, are they? Now they're on the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on now, amen. Our names aren't in the Bible. We're not going to turn to the book of Dave. It would be one chapter. Right? Although there is a passage in the book of Acts about me. It says, and David served his generation by the will of God and fell on his sleep. And so if I die this week, you're going to say, he knew that. No, but watch this. Is there being a bigger story told with my life? Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes God lets us see a page or two of it. Now, I know what you're saying. Oh, no, he's going to talk about extra-biblical revelation. Oh, God's going to show me all this stuff. And then, no. Watch this. But I've got to just tell you about my life. You can come up with anything you want to in your life, but you always got to be honest with it. You can't embellish it. And you can't add to it, and you can't take from it, okay? Right? Promise me you're going to be honest with it, right? Has God ever placed you in the right place at the right time? Absolutely. Sometimes he shows us. Mine, and you've heard this story before, but I walked into my dad's place New Year's Eve almost 10 years ago. Actually, maybe 11 years ago. Richard is there, and I had 15 minutes. Rich says, Dad, Dave's here. Dad comes walking out, looked like he was in a World War II concentration camp. If you think I got a belly, my father would, and I would look like twins, except in the last year of his life. He walked out and he sat down, and Rich said, there he is, ask him. I said, what does he want? Rich said this. He said, he won't tell me. He wants to ask you something. I said, okay, Dad, what do you want? Davy, I don't know if I believe with all my heart. Right place at the right time. I could have blew that off because I had 15 minutes. I had an hour and a half drive, and I had to leave a New Year's Eve service, 7 o'clock. Boy, I'm glad. God did not go, pull in here. Drag me in. Sit me down. Now talk to your dad. I wrote him off. I wrote him off 2 months before that because I tried to talk to him. I said, Dad, you're preparing to die. Have you considered your spiritual preparation? And you know what he told me? I'm certainly not an atheist. In all the arrogance that he can muster. And here sits a man 14 days before he drew his last breath saying, Davy, I don't know if I believe with all my heart. Listen, folks, if you don't believe there's a bigger story going on in your life than your circumstances today, then I would say this, that you are living under the circumstances and all you want to do is be happy. And I'll tell you what, you are going to be miserable, your life will have no joy, and all people will ever do is disappoint you. Come on now, amen? But my God says, He's writing the story. And He's writing the story of your life, and He's writing the story of my life. We have the opportunity to look at Joseph's life, and believe me, folks, we're missing it if we don't take his story serious. Oh, we may not end up in jail, but Georgie Vins did end up in jail. We may not be killed on a street corner, but Watchman Nee was killed in prison before they released all the political religious prisoners in China. Come on now, amen? God's writing the story, folks. Are we willing to trust Him with it? We'll continue. Father, Lord, as we look at Joseph's life, wow. We might even actually say that, man, if it wasn't for bad luck, he'd have no luck at all. But Father, we don't even believe in luck. But that's how we say when we experience bad circumstances. Help us, Father, to glean truth from your word. Speak to our hearts, Lord. You know us better. You know these folks better than I know them, and you know me better than I know myself. Open our eyes. Open your eyes to the truth of your word. Father, remind us every time we're tempted to complain. Give us wisdom how we might magnify your name.